Thank you for joining. Start with the scripture reading. In Matthew chapter 5, we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, which is called the Beatitudes. And we're going to read the first few verses there. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Friends, we have reached the seventh sermon in our series on the Beatitudes. Firstly, we said, after humbly recognizing our spiritual poverty before God and our need for Him, and mourning over our sinful separation from God, which leads us to repentance, and then being meek before God, and then hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, all these four are to God. I then turn my attention to my neighbors, and I manifest mercy to them. Mercy, that is forgiving and releasing them from the pain and hurt they have caused me, as God has often forgiven and released me from the pain I caused Him. Then my attention moves from my neighbor to me. First four to God, then to my neighbor, and now to me. In other words, it moves from charity to purity, from external compassion to internal holiness. And the Bible says, "I am pure in heart. I am pure in heart. I see and want and desire all God before all others." This technology demon is here today.
Siri, stop.
We bind you, Siri. We bind. Just joking.
I think it's not
serious. Got it. So once we become pure in heart, we see and we want and we desire God before all others. Only then, friends, after living the first six Beatitudes, can we become the seventh. And that is peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I like the Old King James Version and the New Living Translation. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." I like that. Do you know, in 1873, a man by the name of Samuel Colt introduced a pistol that was named the Peacekeeper. Because of its simple design and the fact that it used shell cartridges rather than the old style loaders, anyone could learn to use this weapon. It was easy to load, and the graduated sight made it simple to aim and fire. During that time, it was said that God made every man different, but Samuel Colt made them equal. That concept was being a larger, stronger man could no longer overpower a smaller, weaker man. What formerly depended on power and strength now depended on speed and accuracy. That's interesting. But today's scripture is not about peacekeepers. It's about peacemakers. And there's a huge difference, friends. The difference is that peacekeepers are those who go in after peace has been already restored. Peacemakers are those who themselves are responsible or take responsibility for restoring peace. And then they are active in keeping the peace. They are actively involved in keeping the peace. We live in a world characterized by fighting and wars and conflict. It's all over society. It's everywhere. You know, I was reading about this British politician. She was the first woman to sit as a member of parliament in the House of Commons. Her name was Lady Nancy Astor. She was always at loggerheads with Sir Winston Churchill. They used to always go back and forth. One day she said to him, "If you were my husband, I'd put poison in your coffee." And Churchill responded, "If you were my wife, I'd drink it." One day he came home, came somewhere, and she saw him and she said, "You are drunk." And he said to her, "You are ugly, but in the morning I'll be sober." Okay, she got him good one day too. Churchill said, having a woman in parliament was like having one intrude on me in the bathroom when I have nothing to cover myself with. And she replied, "You're not that handsome enough to have such fears." But you know what it shows, friends, that we all of us are inclined to quarrel and argue. We all got that within us. Some people have clashed so much with others that we don't know how to live peaceably with others anymore. I have known people who don't seem happy unless they are fighting with someone else. Do you know that history shows that most peacekeeping efforts have failed? In fact, in nearly 4,000 years of recorded history, the world has only been at peace for a total of 286 years. That is 7% of the time. At least 108 million people were killed in wars in the 20th century alone. In 1945, the United Nations set as its motto to have succeeding generations free from the scourge of war. That was their motto. Our motto is to have succeeding generations free from the scourge of war. But do you know, it has not been true for a single day. Every peace treaty ever made, and you know there are over 8,000 peace treaties made, everyone has been broken. As someone mockingly said, peace is that glorious moment in history when everyone stands around reloading their guns. You see, the problem lies in the fact that we have delegated the job of peacemaking to politicians and have failed to realize, friends, the only real peace the world will ever know will result when God rules in the hearts of man and woman. A rule that only we as God's children are called upon and privileged to promote in our world. Our ultimate calling is a calling to be peacemakers. That's what we are called to be, peacemakers. In the words of the German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, He said, the followers of Jesus have been called to peace. When he called them, they found their peace, for he is their peace. But now they are told that they must not only have peace, but make peace. Friends, it's easy to be naive about peace because it's very elusive. It's very difficult to achieve. One moment, think about your own life. One moment you can have peace in the home, you can have peace at work and in your relationships, and the next moment is gone. I've heard about a group of people with their banners. They were walking across the United States of America. But when they got halfway, there was so much fighting and bickering that they had to divide into two groups. It was a peace march, but we can't stand each other. The fact that the lack of peace is so prominent is nothing new. We can trace it all back to the book of Genesis, where humans had been in war with God ever since Adam and Eve sinned. Isn't that true? And beginning with the conflict between Cain and Abel, which eventually led to the one brother killing the other brother, we have been in battle with one another all the time. So when Jesus stands up on the side of the mountain to talk to people, and he says, blessed are the peacemakers, everybody was in shock. How could they, the Jews, hope to overthrow the Romans and restore peace to their nation if they were supposed to be peacemakers? Come on now. The Romans weren't just going to lie down and let Israel have their way. And it's in this context, friends, it's within this context that Jesus promised to bless the people who would become agents for peace, saying that the peacemakers will be called the children of God. In other words, I'm a Jew sitting there. I'm all mad with these Romans. I just want to destroy them, kill them, and get rid of them. And yeah, Jesus is saying, wait now, you are blessed if you're a peacemaker. And you know what? You are a child of God. You mean being a Jew is not enough? No. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. This means that every Christian, every one of us, according to this beatitude, is responsible for being a peacemaker in their homes, in their church, in their community, in the nation, and ultimately the world. There are three types of people I want to talk about briefly today, friends. One type is called peace breakers. Concerning peace breakers, Paul wrote in Romans 16, Paul said, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. I asked the question, how? Well, there it comes. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Yet notice how they do it, friends, predominantly with their words. You know it's easier to create conflict than to promote peace. You just got to open your mouth, say something. Do you use your words, friends, to unite or separate? Do you use your words to encourage or discourage? Do you use your words to build up or break down? Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus. He said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Peacebreakers are those people who go out of their way to break down relationships. They cause division. They cause trouble. They are troublemakers. They walk around with a chip on their shoulder looking to pick a fight. They will fight about anything and everything, even the things that don't matter. They disagree with everything. You know why? Their motivation is self-centeredness and selfishness. I get these people all the time. You ask them a question, the first word that comes out of their mouth is no. Their point of departure is negativity. Do you know those? Just want to fight, man. Hey, just make me mad about something. I will find something. Friends, we can't afford to have peace breakers in the church. You know why? They stop the move of God and they destroy revival. Now, it's possible to be a peace breaker without even knowing it. So before we start pointing fingers at someone else, we need to examine our own hearts. Let us remember that all of us can have bad days. A three-year-old boy had a friend over to his house to play. But it turned out to be a tough day for this three-year-old. The little boy was arguing about the toys and was grumpy. He wasn't nice to his friend. And when his mother came in to offer them some snacks, she said to her son, "You know, you should really be nicer to your friend. He came over to play with you, but you are not being very nice to him. You should share your toys better." And the little boy said, "Well, Mom, sometimes I'm mean, sometimes I'm not." All people are like that, you know. Isn't that true? I am getting a video call now from Mikey Zebulik. What is wrong with this demon? The demon of technology. It's so hard to focus. Don't lie. Right? If you're judging me, say, "What a terrible man you are." No. Lord, help us, please. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he expresses his concern about what he may find when he gets to visit them. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, he's writing to Christians. He's saying, "I fear that there may be quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger, faction, slander, gossip, and disorder." What? You see, all the gossip and slander and anger and fighting and being judgmental, those things don't belong in the church, friends. That's not Jesus' idea of us being peacemakers. They tear down, they cause division and friction. Whenever God begins to do something good, the enemy will always try to interrupt it. And one of Satan's biggest snares, traps, is the tongue, friends. There's never a good enough reason for sins of the tongue. Before we start looking at others, we need to listen to what we are saying ourselves. We need to hear the words that come out of our own mouths. We need to ask, are my words building up or are they tearing down? All of us are capable of both. We can either bless or curse. This is what James says in James 3, verse 10. James said, "Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Many years ago, Psychology Today, which is a media organization with the focus on psychology and human behavior, they posed this intriguing question. The question was, if you could push a button and thereby eliminate any person with no repercussions to yourself, would you do it? 60% said definitely yes. Friend, have you been pushing any buttons lately? Are you a peace breaker? Do you bring people together or pull them apart? It's always easier to create conflict than to promote peace. The second group of people are what we call peace fakers. They're the ones who prefer peace over truth. They will do anything to have peace at any cost in the effort to avoid conflict. They prefer peace over truth, peace over healthy relationships, peace over what's right. Peace fakers see peace as the absence of any kind of argument or discourse, and they'll go through any length to avoid conflict, confrontation, and unrest. But in doing so, they settle for a counterfeit peace based on avoiding reality, the real issues. Peace fakers know there's a problem but won't say anything because they don't want to disturb the peace. They avoid talking about things because it may upset the other person. Peace fakers don't understand that sometimes to have peace, someone might just have to take the definitive stand for the truth by confronting the peace breaker. Listen what Ephesians 4:25 said. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we all members of one body. We couldn't have peace with God if Jesus hadn't confronted sin on the cross. It was very costly. But Jesus made peace through his blood. In choosing peace faking over telling the truth, friends, people think they are making a good choice, but in reality, they're making a bad one. Whatever has caused tension in a relationship, if left ignored, will come back again. Some people, friends, say they have had 10 years experience in marriage, but in actual fact, they have had 1 year experience of marriage repeated 10 times because they never properly resolved the conflicts of the first 12 months. They never talk them through. If things, friends, are not resolved, then that peace you are trying so very hard to maintain by avoiding the issues will get harder and harder to keep. Eventually, there will be a total breakdown in a relationship. Relationships can die while everything on the surface looks peaceful. If you're a peace faker, and you want to tell the truth, the enemy will whisper in your ear, don't do it. Maintain the status quo. Don't upset the apple cart. And don't fake peace at the expense of truth. Now, people think, friends, that I don't notice. But just by what they say, I've been accused of being a peace faker at times. But let me say quickly, when it comes to the word of God, I'm sorry, I won't fake peace. or dumb down God or water down the gospel. Let me just say something here, friends. Pastors all over the world have been walking a fine line, attempting to please most people. On Zoom and in the congregation, listen carefully. There are anti-vaccine people here. There are pro-vaccine people here. There are anti-mask people here. There are pro-mask people here. There are liberals here.
What?
There are conservatives here. There are tithers here. There are non-tithers here. There are in-church gathering people here. And there are Zoom people here. Now, whose side does the pastor take? Hey? Come on now. Whose side do I take? You know, a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, he was kicked out of a church because he said something that offended the parents of homeschoolers when his child went to public school. They kicked him out, man. You see? So whose side do I take? Come on now. I sit around a coffee, a table having a coffee, and I'm bombarded by all things, and I say, keep quiet, keep. Hey? Am I being a peace faker? No, sir. Think of myself as the third group of people, and that is peacemaker. I'd rather be a peacemaker, friends. So what's about being a peacemaker? It's much easier to break the peace or fake the peace than it is to make the peace. Jesus used a very strong word for maker. He was meaning, blessed are those who do peace. Blessed are those who create peace. Jesus was saying, peace must be actively made because it never happens by chance. Peacemaking is a messy work, but Jesus asked us to be peacemakers. Peacemakers are disciples who strive to prevent arguments and strife. They are harmonizers. They are reconcilers. They bridge builders. They stand in the gap. No matter what the cost, they usher in peace. John MacArthur says, a truce just says you don't shoot for a while. But peace comes when the truth is known, the issue is settled, and the parties embrace each other. That's peacemaking, friends. This is the reason that Jesus, in this verse, does not use the word peacekeeper. He used the word peacemaker, and there's a world of a difference. Peacemakers are a very different kind of people. They set a guard on their tongues at all times. They think before they speak. They are not confrontational for the sake of it. They don't just have to give an opinion all the time. They are able to walk away quietly and avoid conflict when situations call for it. Peacemakers are those who have the mindset to eliminate bitterness, hatred, and enmity between people. Peacemakers, friends, those who seek to intervene because it saddens the heart to see people in contention with one another. Peacemakers are those who have passion towards resolving conflict and instilling peace. Peacemakers attack the problem, not the person. Peace is not the absence, friends, of something bad, but rather the presence of something good. If you want peace in your home, you want peace in your marriage, in your church, there's always a price. And that price is your self-centeredness and selfishness. You may need to say, hey, maybe my wife was right. Maybe you need to say, hey, my husband has a point there. You need to say, you know what, my friend has a legitimate complaint. You see, peace has a price. It's letting go of self, to exalt oneself, to elevate oneself, or take control. God wants peacemakers in our homes, in our workplace. He wants peacemakers in our church, in our community. And we need to be bridge builders, not bridge breakers. Pastor Warren Worsby used to say, hatred looks for a victim, while love seeks a victory. A man of war throws stones. A peacemaker builds a bridge out of those stones. It's not easy to be a peacemaker, friends. It's risky. You can tear your heart. We must understand this, friends, that peacemakers will always be misunderstood and misrepresented. Peacemakers will always often be crucified. And why do I say that? Because the greatest example the world has ever seen of someone being a peacemaker resulted in him being crucified. Do you agree? Jesus' primary role, friends, when he came to this earth, was to be a peacemaker. He was making real peace between God and man. Truth and justice had to be upheld. We are all sinners, and someone had to pay a price. God could not sweep sin under the carpet. So Jesus came to make peace. And this verse is not on the Zoom, but it's on our screen here. Ephesians 2:14 says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Isn't that a wonderful verse? It's not on the screen. On Zoom. Friends, the peace Jesus brings is far more than just the absence of fighting. It is fully restored relationship with God. It is in bringing such real peace, conflict is inevitable. I'm sure that even after this service, I will be challenged about something. Most violent conflict that ever took place in history was witnessed by the whole universe as Jesus hung on the cross making peace. The cross has continued down through the ages to be the ground of conflict. It has been the bone of contention, and some have embraced it in love and commitment to Christ, and others have cursed it and ridiculed it. But it is absolutely necessary, friends, if peace was to be restored between God and man. How can you be a peacemaker? How can you be a peacemaker? It all begins by knowing the Prince of Peace. Isn't that true? You want to be a peacemaker? You've got to know the Prince of Peace. Dwight, go down there. Please. Somebody's fallen. You've got to know Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you've got to know about Jesus. You've got to know Jesus. I like what Professor Haddon Robinson said. No peace will exist between nations until peace reigns in each country. And no country will have peace unless peace resides in each community. And no community will have peace unless peace dwells within its people. And no people will have peace unless they surrender to the Prince of Peace. It all begins by having a relationship with Jesus, friends. He wants you to trust him, to believe in him, to put your faith in him. He has the ability to change things. He has the ability to fix that which is broken. You see, Jesus is a peacemaker. He changes things. Where there's a storm, he creates calm. Where there is chaos, he creates order. Where there is bitterness and strife, he creates peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and he has called us to be peacemakers too. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God. Practicing peace isn't always easy, as indicated in the following story. Each night as the lights went out in the barracks, a young soldier would slip out of bed on his knees and spend time in prayer. His sergeant, who had little use for anything Christian, saw this one night. He picked up his muddy boots and he threw them in the soldier's direction. The young man barely flinched as one of the boots hit him on the side of the head, and the sergeant, muttering an obscenity, rolled over to sleep. The following morning, the sergeant found his boots beside his bed, cleaned and polished to perfection. That has been peacemaker. Peacemakers, in the words of Jesus, love their enemies. They pray for their persecutors. They turn the other cheek. They go the second mile. Peacemakers make every effort to live in peace with each other. The promise to the peacekeepers is, you will be called children of God. Called, I love that word. It says, you will become children of God. You will be owned as children of God. You will be given the title children of God. And what Jesus is saying here, friends, is that peacemakers will be known and recognized by as they really are children of God. Another Christian lady told me, man, Keith, I just love it when I can tear a strip of someone. Come on now. You're a peace breaker. God wants us to be peacemakers, friends. Think about it. Don't think when I meet Johnny by the post office, he's going to hear from me. He's going to get it good. No, don't be a peace faker. Jesus wants all of us, listen, all of us to be peacemakers. Alexander the Great ruled the world. His policy was to allow people charged with a crime to come before him, appear before him, and then he would make the final judgment. He was known to be fair but ruthless. So the people were afraid to go with their crimes before him. However, one soldier was brought to him. The young man wore a uniform of Alexander's army. Upon discovering that the soldier was charged for being a coward in the battle, Alexander asked the soldier for his name. The soldier replied, "My name is Alexander." Alexander the Great got so mad. He says, your name is Alexander? And you've been found guilty of crimes? He says, I sentence you to either change your conduct or change your name. For no man can bear the name Alexander, my name, and do the things you have done. And listen, friends, in conclusion, that's really what Jesus is telling us in this beatitude. In declaring, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, Jesus expressing that those who bear his name must also bear his character. Isn't that true? It is Jesus' character to be a peacemaker. And in ushering in peace, we bear his name. Friends, when you make peace, you know what you do? You partner with God in spreading peace. And you demonstrate to the watching world that you are a son or daughter of God. In addition, you fully enjoy the benefits of being in the family of God. If you want to resemble a God, be a peacemaker. Why? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. In our political climate, in this pandemic climate, so much bickering is going on and arguing and fighting. And there's disunity. There's division. We think we've got it bad. But you knew that the Jews also thought they had it bad under the Romans. Entertain thoughts how to get even, how to beat and defeat and kill the Romans. There you come along, Lord, and you call them and you call us to be peacemakers. Not always trying to push our own agendas. Be sensitive, Lord, to what's happening around us for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of being your children. Everyone here, Lord, because, man, we are champions at losing our cool. We are so right. Help us, Lord, to think before we talk. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the Lord's table now, friend. We thank the Lord for the way he demonstrated peace. He went to the cross so that we could be reconciled with God. That's what it is to be a peacemaker. And we're thankful that we have the opportunity this morning, friends, to remember that. We have the opportunity to remember that. And this is what the Lord requested of us. Years after Jesus went back to heaven, Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, do this as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity again to remember you and what you did for us at the cross and what this emblems signify, your suffering and dying and making a way for us to come directly into your presence. So we just thank you, Lord, for this time of taking these elements.